Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It is Locked On Jazz, the 2nd of October. We play today. We'll look at that preseason game and what to expect. Let's look back a little bit at what we saw in the open scrimmage and get to know Rodney Hood. That's all coming up on today's edition of Locked On Jazz. Pow. How are you? I'm David Locke, radio voice of the Utah Jazz, Jazz NBA insider. This is Locked On Jazz, your daily podcast on the Utah Jazz, giving you insight, hopefully some expertise you simply can't get anywhere else. You can listen on your Android, your iTunes, or you can tell Alexa to play, or you can tell Google to do the same thing. It is Locked On Jazz, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Hope you're doing great. Had a wonderful weekend, obviously. Do want to take a second. Our next door neighbors in Las Vegas going through some terrible tragedy. I want to send out our thoughts. I'm certain that, this is one that will touch home. We just have such, you know, Salt Lake and Utah have such ties to Vegas. Amount of people and otherwise. So, obviously all of us are running through everybody we know and hoping to hear from them as we record this morning and best thoughts to everyone that somehow you're not directly affected. And then obviously there's nothing that can be said to the poor people that had to live through, such a circumstance and obviously those who did not. So, deep thoughts to those. We'll do Rodney Hood as our get to know today. You voted last night and Rodney took 46% of the vote. Tabo Cephalosha took 38. People have asked me, whether or not I talked about Tabo with his, on the police brutality thing that he went through where they broke his leg and then, he since sued them to, prove their wrongdoing. I have not. Only really because I don't know him at all, and I do think it's a really interesting conversation. And if I get to know him, then maybe we can have a conversation that leads to some value rather than just kind of sensational headline here early on. So that's just the quick thought of why I did not do that. You can evaluate whether you think that was the right decision or not. I kind of stayed on our grit and talent coach script with him, but we'll do Rodney Hood today instead. Today's show brought to you by Grip Six, the webbing belt with no holes. I'm a fan. I was the other day, I was getting a new suit and some shirts for the season, over a clothing store. And guy's like, that's a cool belt. Where'd you get that? I'm like, you know what? It's a Utah company. It's called Grip Six. And I actually have to keep remembering. I want to order the stickly one. The wood one I think is really cool looking. So I've forgotten to do that. All right. So let's get to the show. Today is preseason game number one against the Sydney Kings, who have been kind of a middle of the road Australian team. There's a great tie-in that our TV crew found on Andrew Gaze, who's their head coach, played at Seton Hall. Quinn Snyder played at Duke. The two met in the Final Four. The two of them met in the Final Four, which is kind of a cool little piece there. Seton Hall upset Duke in that game. P.J. Carlissimo was the head coach. And then they went on to play Michigan, Glenn Rice, Ramil Robinson hit the free throws late in the game. And Michigan beat Seton Hall. This shouldn't, in theory, be a real test to the Jazz. Obviously, the Sydney Kings are going to come out fired up and ready to go with with a huge, huge focus. And so the Jazz will just have to match it. It'll be fun to see the arena done up and ready for an NBA game. That'll be new and different, I think, for everybody. They get to use their locker room for the first time. The things that I would watch if I were you in this game, first is what the Jazz do off misses. So when they force a miss, how quickly are they up the floor and into action? That's an area where they are really trying to change who they are this season. So that would be the first act I would watch. The second one I would keep an eye on would be the passing. In the scrimmage the other day, the amount of passing was just tremendous. They moved the ball. Rubio set the tone, and it seemed to get contagious. That seemed to be kind of the universal feeling of everybody. Rubio threw passes in three of the first six possessions that I have, just guys haven't seen. Tessa Dosic last night for the Clippers had a little bit of that same feel to him, of just, and similarly actually didn't have a great shot. The thing on Rubio, by the way, his mid-range numbers last year were pretty good. His numbers struggle from three, and really his numbers struggle at the rim. So his mid-range game, though, if he pulls up in the mid-range, those numbers are not bad. Teodosic last night finished 0-for-5 from the field, but did have 8 assists in 25 minutes as the Clippers are doing the Hawaii thing, which was awesome when we did it. Like, really, really awesome. C.J. Miles is the new starting small forward for Toronto. I kind of forgot about that in the offseason. He looked pretty good. DeLon Wright, by the way, had a really good game. I watched a little bit of that. I like Toronto more than – I think they're kind of the forgotten team. Obviously, Kyle Lowry has to stay healthy and some – and DeRozan took 2 threes last night. But just kind of interesting little notes for you from those games. Sorry. Back to our game and what we're – and so the first thing, as I said, is the action after misses. Second one is just the overall passing. And then the third one, which I don't know when Quinn's going to be able to figure this out, is the rotations. And watch who plays with whom and how they play. I don't know how Jerebko fits, but I like his game. He's a very good three-point shooter. Joe Johnson is, I think, pretty valuable in his ability to score, so he plays. Donovan Mitchell, we'll get to see him, but watching him in the scrimmage, the kid just puts the ball in the hoop. And we need people who can put the ball in the hoop. And that's what he does. He just puts the ball in the hoop. And so there's something to be said for keeping an eye, you know, him. I think he may force himself into time. I really do. He just has a skill now. And there was a play in the scrimmage where he bypassed an open look and got Joe Johnson a better look. And if he does that, he'll play. The concern on him is that he's just so amped up that he's going to turn the ball over, trying things that young players do. Nothing wrong with that at all. It's just the reality of what a young player does. And that he'll make some enough mistakes that you have a hard time kind of weighing as much as you see all the development and everything, whether he's helping you win or lose. And that will be... But he didn't do that in the scrimmage. He played a much different game in which he controlled himself. He played inside what the team needs, and he made the extra passes. If he does that, he's just going to play. There's just very little chance to keep him off the floor. Dante Exum was interesting in the scrimmage, and I'll tell you about that in a sec. I do want to mention some things about Grip 6, who's our sponsor today. It's a local Utah belt company. And I've tried to tell you as much as I can about Grip 6. So the basic, really cool premise of Grip 6 is it's a webbing belt, has no holes. I know, like, how's that work? Well, it does. They have a patented system in which you're able to loop the belt in and it hooks in perfectly, holds tight all day, never slips. We got a guy who emailed us who said, by the way, I'm a heavier guy. It's awesome because it doesn't hurt. For me, who fluctuates 15 pounds during the season, it's going to be awesome because I can change it. The other one that's really cool is the belt and straps are interchangeable. So I don't think I've explained this one. If you have six choices of straps from white to navy to brown to khaki to gray and black, and then you have all of these different belt loops, the basic belt loops are single color, and then I like the next level stuff. The graphite one's really cool. The black, the stickly one is really cool. The Ruskin one, those are the two wood ones that I really like. And I've said I'm gonna go get myself a Stickley one, I think. The carbon fiber dark matter is the most expensive. I have that. Then they also have these cool ones that are the honeycomb belt, and then they have a buffalo. Those are actually their conservation theory. I haven't mentioned that enough to you. That is a really cool. They give money back. 10% of all the proceeds for their conservation series go to helping outdoor conservation agencies. Good people. And the other one, by the way, is that they have just in – it's on the website. If you go to it, they have a new – and it's limited. There aren't a lot of them out there. They're on their best-selling items right now is the belt hanger that's specific just for Grip 6 belts. You can get that as part of your business pack, which gives you four belts – three belts, three buckles, and the hanger for just $99. That's on sale right now. Plus, if you use the code LOCK20, you get 20% off. BJ Minson is the owner and inventor of Grip 6. They're manufactured in the U.S. They're a Utah company. They're really cool. LOCK20. I told you I was shopping for a suit the other day, and the guy said to me, it's a cool belt. I was wearing the carbon fiber one, which is pretty sporty, if I say so myself. So go grab it. Grip6.com. Promo code LOCK20. Before we touch on Dante, today is our first day of our extended social network coverage. So here's the plan. Ron, an hour before the game, Ron and I will be there for you on, I'm not sure what format, so keep an eye on it. It will either be Periscope, YouTube, Insta Live. I don't think it'll be Facebook Live. Might be, 1 hour before the game. Then in-game Instagram Live after each quarter. And post-game is going to be Facebook Live for postcast. So, sorry, there, multiple formats, they all do different things. I think we might go live on YouTube on the first one. That's David Locke. So follow on my YouTube channel because then I can embed that more easily at LockedOnJazz.net. Instagram is DLock09 and follow Locked On Sports on Facebook. So Dante was really good dominating the scrimmage. Dominating the end of the scrimmage again with the main guys off the floor, should do the same tonight. You know, Quinn made an interesting point. When you practice against Rudy, sometimes it's really hard to tell what you're doing and how you're playing because you drive to the basket and you run into Rudy. Dante is just getting by people on his first step every time and is now learning what to do once he gets by guys. It's fun to watch. He's improved dramatically and is playing with a good level of aggressiveness. The shot does not look dramatically different. It's just, we'll see whether it goes in. But his first step is, and then his action after he beats this guy is. There's nobody on the Sydney Kings that's going to be able to stay in front of him. There aren't many guys in the NBA that are going to be able to stay in front of him. And then I'd be surprised if the Sydney Kings have the depth and the height to be able to preclude him from getting to the rim as he wishes to. So that's a big one to watch today. So those are the three things I would really watch are what we do after misses, what some of the rotation pieces are, and then the guard play of Mitchell and Exum. That's what I would keep my eye on, and those are the kind of things we'll be focusing on with this ball game. It'll be fun, and the arena will be open and rolling. All right, let's do our get-to-know interview with our good friend Rodney Hood.
All right, let's get to know Rodney Hood, a guy we know a little bit, but take me back to your hometown in Meridian, Mississippi. What would you show me?
If I took you back to Meridian, Mississippi, I would definitely take you to the Boys and Girls Club. I think it's a big pillar in that community. It brings a lot of people together. And then I would take you to, you know, some good eating spots, you know, in the South. And just take you where I grew up. You know, I grew up in the streets, not in the streets, but playing ball on every different court. You know, a lot of different people, great people down there. So it's a lot down there.
That Boys and Girls Club, you've now gone back and you're honored. I think they have your jersey up. And what's that like for you to go back to where you were just this little kid to now being honored like that?
It's amazing. You know, I grew up. That's why I learned everything. I learned how to talk to girls there. I learned how to, you know, got extra work in my homework. I built so many great relationships there. And to say I made it out of that situation and to give kids hope that's coming up through the same thing, it means a lot to me, and I can always take pride in that.
How many brothers and sisters did you have?
I got one brother and two sisters.
And where are you in the birth order?
I'm the baby.
And how much did you just try to keep up and compete with them all the time?
I never really tried to compete with them. They was a lot older than me. But, you know, my brother, I always tried to emulate him or be like him. He was the guy in high school, and I wanted to be the guy in high school. He went to college and graduated, and I wanted to be there too. So, you know, it was just good to have that, you know, a leader. He was like a leader for me.
You take me back to your childhood room. What's in that? You've told this story before. This isn't good. Be honest. Tell me about the room again.
Until I was probably ninth grade, I had a NASCAR bed, and my feet was hanging off of it, and I had NASCAR paint that's still there to this day, and even though I really didn't like it, but I just stuck with it, you know, but it was great. I still got the same mattress. Well, I switched out mattress, but it's the same size. I like my feet hanging off the bed, so that's what it looks like now.
And when you were a kid in the backyard playing, you were?
When I was a kid playing in the backyard, I was either like Michael Jordan or Penny Hardaway. Those are two guys that I watched their games and go outside and try to emulate.
You can't say Joe Johnson. That's just your autograph. What was your first nickname?
My first nickname was Little Hood. You know, my dad was Big Hood. My brother was Little Ricky, which is my dad's name too. And then I was Little Hood. That's what everybody called me.
And why do you wear uniform number 5?
I wear number 5 because it's 5 people in my immediate family. My mom, dad, sister, brother, and me. And I have a half sister, but it's just for us 5. And it's something that I just wear on the court. It gives me motivated, and it's my why.
The NBA is downtime. What do you do to pass your downtime?
When I'm at home, I like to, like, play ping pong, you know, play Connect Four, something to get my mind out of basketball because I'm always thinking about it. And when I'm on the road, I like to just walk downtown, see different cultures, go to different restaurants I never go to, and just get outside the hotel room.
What's your favorite road restaurant?
Favorite road restaurant? I like the one we went to in San Francisco. I don't know the name of it.
The one Quinn took you guys to?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I forgot the name of it, though.
I'll find out. That question's for me, not for anybody else. What's your guilty pleasure? Do you know that phrase? To have, like, you know what I mean by that?
Like something you're supposed to eat.
Yeah, or just something you all, like, you know, could be buying something, could be something you eat, yeah.
My guilty pleasure is I got to have Skittles before the game, I guess.
You and Marshawn Lynch?
Yeah, I guess so. I'm not as crazy as he is, but, you know, I like to have skills for the game.
What is the most memorable moment of your career?
I got a lot of them. Most memorable moments, it got to be one.
You can give me more than one.
Most memorable moment, definitely this past year, hitting my first game winner, winning the state championship in high school, and getting drafted to the Jazz. I'd say those 3 moments.
So off of those, there's these 2 books that are out. One's called Grit by Angela Duckworth. Your head coach actually is a fan. And there's another, Talent Code, which is about these like pockets of elite performance. So having read those and pulled some things off, I thought I'd kind of find out about your journey through those. What made you believe that you, Little Hood, mm-hmm. could make the NBA?
Man, it was just a lot of hard work, you know, and taking the bumps and bruises. You know, I always played against older guys, and, you know, I just felt myself getting better and better and better, and I felt myself passing a lot of guys, and you know, I hit a growth spurt, and I kept getting better. And I think because I failed a few times, I think it gave me confidence that I can do it. And I also, you know, have succeeded in some things as well. So I think just going through the hardships really made me think I can make it.
Looking back at who you were as a kid, how were you different? What were the things you did differently than other kids?
Different, you know, when I was little, you know, you go to basketball games, all the little kids running around, you know, throwing spitballs or whatever. I was watching the game. You know, I sit on the sidelines and I just watch the best player, and I watch him run up and down the court. Even if the play was on this side, I'd be watching him, how his mannerisms are, you know, what he does, what he like, how he works. And I think I took that into my game, and, you know, it propelled me to where I am today.
kind of the thesis of the book Talent Code is that you have to do what they call deliberate practice moments, or being pushed beyond your comfort zone and your skill set. For you, are those the little hood playing against the big boys at the Boys and Girls Club, or are there other times when you think back about just really minute, detailed practices?
Yeah, I mean, that's where every step I've taken, I had to adjust, you know, whether it was, you know, playing at the Boys and Girls Club, playing against grown men at the age of 13, and they bumping me around. So, you know, get better at that. When I got to high school, I had to, you know, we did a lot of running and conditioning, which was the first I ever did. And coach used to have to pull my teeth. And getting to college and playing for Coach K, you know, being a leader, being held accountable every single day, coming to the league with Quinn Snyder, you know, having to really take pride on the defensive side of the ball, and something I'm still learning. But, you know, just that pride in every single step that I take naturally as a player, you know, I have to do something that I haven't did before that's going to make me uncomfortable but make me better.
The word perseverance, what comes to mind for you, and do you have a personal story that comes to mind?
We're going to say that one. After this year, I'm going to say that one, especially for you, that perseverance.
Okay, you got it. What does passion mean to you?
Passion means, you know, having something that you love and you care for, and it hurts when you don't have it, you know, or hurts when it's not going right. You know, as far as basketball, I'm passionate about it. And, you know, when I'm not playing well or whatever, I get frustrated. But I love it. You know, I love the game. I love everything about it. And so I think that's what passion is.
One of the quotes in these books I loved, and, you know, it's a little wordy because it's written by an author, but elite performance, great performance, is really a combination of a dozen small skills, each learned, which drilled into a larger habit. What would be your basketball example of that?
That's a tough one. Just, I think, would be consistency as far as work habits. That's something that I've had to learn since I've been in the league. Like, regardless of good games, bad games, you can't get too high, too low. You know, just always keeping your work habits and treating the game. What you give to the game is what you'll get back. That's something I learned from Joe Johnson.
Oh, I like that. Ninth straight day of practice. How do you get back out there? What drives you back out to the court?
Their passion. You know, just got to love it. You know, we're a select few guys that's playing on a professional basketball league, the greatest league in the world, and it's a way to provide for our families. And, you know, we do it for the fans. I mean, the fans is the reason why we get everything that we get, and, you know, they behind us every single night, good or bad, and, you know, we got to give that effort every single day, even if it's in practice. And, you know, it's going to be gone one day. You know, one day I'm going to stop playing this game. So you got to enjoy those moments when it gets tough.
Thank you very much, Rodney.
Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure.
Thanks.
All right, good to know with Rodney Hood, or get to know with Rodney. Good to get to know Rodney Hood. That's what I was trying to say. Fun conversation with Rodney. We'll have those throughout the week for you. Jazz and the Sydney Kings. It's on radio tonight at 7. By the way, we will be putting up the entire radio broadcast for you after the game. Utah Jazz Radio is the podcast name. I'm not sure it's populated all the systems yet. If you go to Utah Jazz, let me see where I can, what it's link online just to start and maybe find it is through Lipson. And so you would go to, I should have known this before. If you go to UtahJazzRadio.lipson.com and UtahJazzRadio.lipson.com/RSS. And you should be able to find it. It might be up on some of your Android feeds and, keep searching. And so hopefully it'll be up there soon. Utah Jazz Radio is the feed for that. Feel free to tell some friends. Thanks very much for tuning into the program. Hope you enjoyed. It will be with you. Ron and I will be live at 6 with a pregame Periscope, might be pregame YouTube, not entirely sure what format we'll be doing it. And then we will also be live each quarter on Instagram. And you can follow me InstaLive at the end of the first quarter, second quarter, and halftime. Postgame will be Facebook Live at Locked On Sports on Facebook. So make sure, did you get all that? DLock09 is the Instagram. All right, have a great day.